So, Tallon said, looking uneasy, you're saying NASA has a clean-burning propulsion system that runs on pure hydrogen? Rachel nodded. I don't have figures, but the exhaust temperatures of these engines are apparently several times hotter than anything ever before developed. They're requiring NASA to develop all kinds of new nozzle materials. She paused. A large rock placed behind one of these slush hydrogen engines would be scalded by a hydrogen-rich blast of exhaust fire coming out at an unprecedented temperature. You'd get quite a fusion crust.
Come on now, Corky said. Are we back to the fake meteorite scenario?
Tallon seemed suddenly intrigued. Actually, that's quite an idea. The setup would be more or less like leaving a boulder on the launch pad under the space shuttle during liftoff.
God save me, Corky muttered. I'm airborne with idiots.
Corky, Tallon said, hypothetically speaking, a rock placed in an exhaust field would exhibit similar burn features to one that fell through the atmosphere, wouldn't it? You'd have the same directional striations and backflow of the melting material. Corky grunted.
I suppose.
And Rachel's clean-burning hydrogen fuel would leave no chemical residue, only hydrogen. Increased levels of hydrogen ions in the fusion pocking. Corky rolled his eyes.
Look, if one of these ECE engines actually exists and runs on slush hydrogen, I suppose what you're talking about is possible. But it's extremely far-fetched.
Why? Tallon asked. The process seems fairly simple. Rachel nodded. All you need is a 190-million-year-old fossilized rock. Blast it in a slush hydrogen engine exhaust fire and bury it in the ice. Instant meteorite.
To a tourist, maybe, Corky said, but not to a NASA scientist. You still haven't explained the chondrils.
Rachel tried to recall Corky's explanation of how chondrils formed. You said chondrils are caused by rapid heating and cooling events in space, right?
Corky sighed. Chondrils form when a rock, chilled in space, suddenly becomes superheated to a partial melt stage, somewhere near 1550 Celsius. Then the rock must cool again extremely rapidly, hardening the liquid pockets into chondrils.
Tallon studied his friend. And this process can't happen on Earth?
Impossible, Corky said. This planet doesn't have the temperature variance to cause that kind of rapid shift. You're talking here about nuclear heat and the absolute zero of space. Those extremes simply don't exist on Earth.
Rachel considered it. At least not naturally. Corky turned.
What's that supposed to mean?
Why couldn't the heating and cooling event have occurred here on Earth artificially? Rachel asked. The rock could have been blasted by a slush hydrogen engine and then rapidly cooled in a cryogenic freezer. Corky stared.
Manufactured chondrils?
It's an idea.
A ridiculous one,
Corky replied, flashing his meteorite sample.
Perhaps you forget? These chondrils were irrefutably dated at 190 million years.
His tone grew patronizing.
To the best of my knowledge, Miss Sexton, 190 million years ago, nobody was running slush hydrogen engines and cryogenic coolers.